Blog Talk Radio. what is spiritual about looking the other way while this is going on? Being spiritual is to go above fear. And I love that when people say, oh, you mustn't focus on the fear, it's frightening. Well, hold on a second, I thought you said you were spiritual and you let go of fear. Well, if you've let go of fear, there's nothing to be frightened of, is there? We are consciousness. We are infinite consciousness. We are all that is, has been, and ever will be. What we're having at this time is a experience in a computer program called Planet Earth and humanity, right? That's what we're having. Now, whatever happens in the experience, we are still infinite consciousness. All that has been, is, and ever will be. But the question is, do you want to have an experience that's as deeply unpleasant as this one is going to be? Do you want your children and grandchildren to have that experience? Right? Because that's the question. And if you really are conscious, if you really are in touch with your, quote, higher self,
for unfortunately, you know, you had to look at it, look at the video, and it's called Finding the Warrior Within. It's on YouTube through David Icke, but when an Indian, an American Indian, if you will, but it transcends to other cultures as well. You know, the warrior mentality. We all have it in us to one degree or another to be warriors, to be warriors. And it's not so that we have to be oppressive or violent, if you will, murderers, you know, whatnot. What it means is we have to have the commitment and courage of that commitment to stand up for ourselves, stand up for those, for our families, stand up for those we love, stand up for those, for our rights, our human rights, our decent, our basic needs, and that which makes us human, that which makes us whole, that which gives us security and happiness, and allows us to continue our lives in a semblance of peace, all right, with our neighbors, peace with other nations, peace with in ourselves, peace in our families. This is the essential criteria for us to be happy, and this is what makes great people. This is what makes citizens great, but it's also what makes animals great. You know, the great beasts, the great predators, and at the same time, all of the other animals, who, when their lives are in jeopardy, or their prides, or their herds, you know, there are the bulls and the warriors, and the mothers, mother elephants, and mother bulls, and mother buffaloes, and mama grizzlies. Okay, who are instinctually protective. But what's happened is, over time, the animal instinct has not been diminished, but the human instinct for survival has been diminished. The human instinct for standing up for oneself, the human instinct that denotes treachery, danger, duplicity, deceit, these things are what we in our country, and especially in the United States, so many have become docile. Are docile to this warrior instinct that we all have. You know, it could be through complacency and television and, fluoride in the water, chemtrails in the sky, genetically modified foods and poisons that are designed to attack our systems, our human bodies and minds, and disable them, or even disable this particular aspect of our condition. I don't understand really why this is such a, well, dominant trait in us. But it's one of self-preservation. It's one of survival. It's one of, you know, leadership and integrity, you know, righteousness, truth, liberty, all of these marvelous ideals that are of our making, of what we are made of, all right? And instinctually, this is what we need to do to become whole people, to become entire human beings. But what's happened is in the last so many centuries and millennium is we've become dominated. We've become deluded, and in the sense of being deluded and not fooled as much as we, well, fooled, yes, but diluted in a sense of being watered down. What we are today are watered down people. Watered down. Those who are not, those who have the most, are those who are out there fighting. I don't mean so much in the wars in Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever those wars are, but I mean in the wars against oppression, serious oppression that's going on here in the United States and around the world by our own governments and our own institutions and corporations. They've created such a web of our own desires that whatever we desire bodily, mentally or physically, they have some artificial manufactured creation to supply that. And it creates a docileness, a docility within us to, you know, to accept that as our way, you know. If we want something, go and buy it. Or if it's not there, we have to make it or grow it. But we've been so dominated by these concepts. I bring about Edward Bernays, who was the father of modern psychology, whose uncle was Freud. He took Sigmund Freud's work and understood the basic desires and drives of man, of humanity, psychological drives, and created from that a marketing vehicle designed to strike at the heart of our materialistic core. And by doing this, the corporations that were once basically hit or miss as far as people's desire, people's meeting people, creating something that people want to buy. By the 70s and 80s, they developed this core concept of create an ambiance or to create an illusion of success or create an illusion of happiness or create an illusion to others, where we became more, today we're more of mirror, we're more mirrors of what we think we should be, as opposed to what we really are. We deny who we are. We deny it because we'd rather be somebody else. You know, we'd rather be something else because we don't want to look at ourselves. And we're told that you can't be yourself. You have to be like this guy or that woman or be like that actress or be like that model. Wear those clothes or wear these clothes or read these books or read, you know, this if you want to be hip, if you want to be in tune, if you want to be whatever you want to be. All right. So what it's done is denied by using the information that they've gathered on the individual desires, individual needs, individual wants. They've created these artificial stimulants or these artificial representations of what you want or what you desire instead of the real thing, you know, instead of reality, what you really need, what you really should have. And I saw recently a video on taste, okay, and how there are people that all they do all day is create different tastes. That's right. From artificial and natural ingredients, both. But they can create tastes like a full roast beef meal or ice cream or, you know, anything. A simple couple of chemicals, you know, or ingredients can create these tastes of almost anything. And you're not having the real food, you're having a taste of something. And that's essentially what we've developed here, and that's what we have. We have a taste, and an artificial taste of reality. An artificial stage, if you will, creation, like television. I mean, everything on television is staged, you know? Even reality TV is staged. It's all staged. It's all caught by a camera or a multitude of cameras, you know, for the right angles and for the right places and for the right effects. Okay, all the words are scripted. All of the backgrounds are designed. These are all part of the false reality that they are creating, and that we are indulging ourselves into believing. Oddly enough, the mind, the conscious mind, truly doesn't know the difference. If you ask people what they're watching, and they may be watching a sitcom or a drama or a tragedy or something, you know, on television, and they're really into the story, they have totally that what's happened is in a movie or whatever. They have totally obliterated reality for that artificial reality that they are into, for however long the movie lasts or the television show or whatever it may be. But we do this all the time. I did it tonight even while I was watching something. You do this all the time. We don't know the difference, because an artificial reality can be so real to us as opposed to, and so desirous of to us of over and above our own reality, that we live in that false reality. We live in that false ideal, that false personality that we've developed over time. Because everybody essentially has a false reality or a false image of themselves. Women spend hours every day, most women, not all women, but most women who are trying to be attractive for the workplace or going out or whatever, they'll spend much time on their makeup and their hair and their, creating an image that's pleasing. It's not them. I mean, they've got makeup and lipstick and jewelry and whatever on. It's the same with men. They'll preen themselves, and, dress themselves up. And maybe they got one good suit, or maybe they got 100 good suits. But whatever it is, it's what they're trying to project. And what they've been told to project. An image that they've gotten from television or books or newspapers or magazines or wherever they get the image from, all around them, that this is how you should present yourself in public. This is how you should be, This is what you should look like, or you look presentable, or this makes you look lovely, or whatever, or handsome, or, whatever it is, according to society, or according to a recent television show, or according to your most admired celebrity. It's all manufactured to destroy your own self-image. And it works in a gradual way until you are old enough that you fit right into that mold. That mold that you created. Not so much, doesn't necessarily have to be one that you like, but it's a mold that is created for you. You didn't make your suit, you didn't make your jacket, your tie, you didn't make your skirt or your dress, you didn't make it. You went out and you picked it because it was there, and it was something that was there made for you. Maybe you say, that's nice, yeah, I'll accept that, or I can handle that, or this is that. I like that, But it's all designed to distract you from who you really are, to create who you want to become. It's like, putting on a Halloween costume. Every day, I go to work or go to school or go to, we tend to portray if we go on as our real selves, not even thinking really. Like when we take the dog out for a walk in the morning, we're not expecting to meet anybody. We are probably our most natural selves, or the person that goes to bed at night, lays down, goes to sleep, is unconscious, whatever he goes to bed as, or she goes to bed as, is essentially what they are, as their real selves. When you are with yourself, when you wake up in the morning and you're scrubby and you're, whoa, that's you, pal. That's the human, that's you. George Orwell once said, he wrote that when you're 50 years old, whatever you see in the mirror is you. By the time you're 50, that's you. And I think that was true when I turned 50. There was definitely a shocking awareness of who you are. that comes through, and that there's no greater way to find yourself and know who you really are than to look in that mirror. Look at your eyes, look at your nose, look at your face, look at your features and say, this is who I am. Good, bad, or indifferent, this is what I have to work with. I have to accept that this is who I am. This black guy is not going to be a white guy, or this white guy is not going to be a black guy, or this Chinese guy is not going to be a Caucasian guy, you know? They're going to be themselves. I don't care what they do unless they have tremendous cosmetic surgery. We'll ever change that. And even when they do, if they do change that, they're still who they originally were. And it really doesn't change the inside of someone. We change names. We change partners. We change jobs. We change cars. We change houses. We change our clothes. All as either a progression of our ambitions or a depression of our, you know, we lose stuff. We're forced to move. We're forced out of our homes. We're forced to, we lose our cars. We lose our wives or children or whatever. And that change is forced upon us. And so whether you are in a perfect position or in a homeless position, who you are is who you are. Those mistakes that you made, those people you trusted, those investments you made, the job that you had, the career that you pursued, the friends and family and enemies and whatever you made, these are all part of you. These are all who you are. And that one strange day that when you wake up, it might be 50, it might be 40, it might be 60, it might be 80, but that one day you're going to look in that mirror and it's going to be you, and you can understand that it's you. You'll say, what did I do, or what am I doing? Am I okay? Am I, you know, and you'll find that if you are okay, if you are at peace with yourself, then chances are your surroundings are real, your family is real, your friends are real, your life is real. Your life is anchored in reality. But if you look at yourself and you find that you're miserable, your life is miserable. You failed in things and everything. Or even if you succeeded, you're not happy because that's not you. It's not what you wanted to do. It just happens to be something that, you know, that you've done or that you do that you happen to be successful at, but your soul is empty. But you continue to do it because you don't have the courage to do what you want to do, do what you should do what you want to be. Take it one step further to develop yourself. Take time to redevelop yourself toward what makes you happy, what makes you an individual, and what makes all around you, right, happy, because you're happy, because you are you. And people will look at you. Yeah, and animals will look at you, your dog will look at you, your cat will look at you and say, I like this person. I identify with this person. there's something real about this person. There's something genuine about this person. There's something that I connect with. And we all do that. Whenever we meet somebody who is like, who we become good friends with, or somebody that we admire because we admire their honesty, we admire their courage, we admire their strength, we admire their intelligence, all right? And we admire the fact that they are real and that what they say is genuine. You know, their anger is real, their sorrow is real, their truth is tempered with wisdom, tempered with experience, tempered with, it's not just book truth, it's understanding the essence of that reality or that truth, as you say. Or as you see it, the warrior within us is the part of us that keeps us alive. Keeps us fighting, keeps us struggling. But the smart warrior is the one who knows his enemy. He's not just out there fighting windmills, you know. He's out there fighting those who are trying to prevent him or her from developing themselves, allowing them freedom, allowing them human rights to exist without fear, without dominated, without terror. And these are the enemies. These are our enemies. The Apostle Paul once said that the good and evil in the war of humanity were wars of principalities of dark and of darkness and light. So as a man, man sees the world through dark-colored glasses, or glass colored darkly, right? Which is, one of Paul's famous statements, and he is absolutely right. We do. We don't see the world the way it is. And the way it is, once we do, and we understand what we're up against, we understand that we are up against principalities, darkness and light. And that those that win over, or the principality, if you will, or the influence that wins us over, is the one that we allow most to influence us. So in other words, if we're influenced by money, desire it above all things, if we are dominated by the need for power above all else, then we strive to be president, and we strive to be corporate CEO or a general in the army, or an officer in the army. These are all acceptable ways of achieving power. ambitions, and so on. And they're all avenues that have been created, that have been paved over, that have been, you know, given to each individual to choose. It's no different than being in New York City, where you have, you know, all these different streets going different ways. They're all paved and they're all big and they're all avenues, you know, first, second, third, fourth, fifth avenue, you know, that kind of thing. And 141st Street, you know, it's just like that. 42nd Street, you know, these are all paved areas that have something on them, something to attract each and every person to a specific area. Where? Why do you live in a certain area? What attracted you there? What, you know? So, in other words, these are all the system, the material system, the world system that's been created for us. Has been created in order to deprive us of our own abilities, of our own humanity. Instead, we become dependent upon others to build our homes and heat our houses and, provide fuel and food. All clothing and so on and so forth. And yes, it in many ways it's an easier form, but in many ways it is a easier, but it is detrimental to our spirit, detrimental to our dignity, detrimental to our self-confidence. Everybody can buy something. A few can make something. Those that can make what they need are far more complete as human beings than those that can merely buy something that others created. You know? It takes no imagination to buy something. But it takes it to build something, to write something, to paint something, you know? These are all things that we do when we create. And yes, we can copy things, we can build like this person or that person, because people's ideas are all valuable to some degree or another, and say, you know, but at the same time, we don't need corporations, we don't need governments, we don't need religions to tell us who we are or what we should do. We inherently know who we are, what we should do, and we're taught by our own need for survival, that what is good, what is bad. But unfortunately, just as a child is brought up through a church, by the age of 6 years old, they've been instilled with these religious ideals, these values, be they true or false. They're nevertheless embedded values, so that by the time they're 6 or 7 years old, they know nothing else. They believe it all. And they're so easily manipulated. And it's no different today with materialism as it is with religion. But at the time a child is 5 or 6 years old, he's watched TV, he's seen a million different commercials. You know, he's conditioned to need what the world provides, what others in the world provide, as opposed to providing what he needs himself. And I believe that this is going to change. Because within everyone, we have the ability to manifest our own desires, to manifest what we want, without industry, without great... without buying anything. We have the ability. Whatever we create in our minds becomes what we want. So it's important for us to want the right things. Want knowledge so that we're not deceived. Want wisdom so we don't deceive ourselves. We need compassion, because even as we understand, even as we accrue or acquire all that we desire, whether we build it ourselves or manifest it within or buy it or whatever we do, we must block our minds of the negative aspects of ourselves, the greed, lust, and, you know, sociopathic tendencies as well, to share our feelings and emotions and accept the feelings and emotions of others, as well as the dignity and the rights to their human rights. Not to deprive them of that. No one has the right to deprive people of their human rights unless those people themselves have given it up, and unless those people themselves no longer deserve it through their criminal actions. They've proven that they can't live moral, healthy lives without hurting people, without robbing banks, without... killing people, without destroying. So all these areas have to be checked, and the warrior must be the one who checks them, the one who is courageous enough, committed enough to continually fight the battle of the principalities and understand that you are a holy warrior. As a holy warrior, you are defending the spirit of your own spirit, as well as the spirit of mankind. Because that spirit is universal. That spirit is one. Right? What makes the differences are our racism, our ignorance in our traditions. In our governments and our the ignorance of these things, and the passivity and the apathy toward them, that have allowed these institutions and governments and master manipulators to control our lives and create and allow and be, and or we become impotent. You know, we become non-functional, you know, just simply zombies or robots fulfilling each peg of the matrix, if you will, or the peg in the, or just a brick in a wall, you know, a cog in the machinery. And that's what we become. That's what makes it an efficient society. Know, blah, 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 according to those who are in charge of our society, who engineer our society. And, you know, so we must find the warrior within and fight these. And you're going to find who the warrior is you. It's not someone else. It's not Ron Paul or David Icke or Mitt Romney or Obama or, you know, some priest or some preacher or some, you know, whatever. No. It's you. You. You're the warrior. That warrior's in you. And the last word tonight is the, you know, I hope you find that warrior. I hope you'll fight. Good fight. And see the difference in the principalities. I hope you join the right side and fight for yourself and all who need to be fought for. With that, I'll leave you tonight. And I want to thank everybody for joining me. And I hope you had a great time. I mean, I hope you got something out of it. And wish you the best. Good night.